Chapter 1. The only thing worse than holding my dying mother's hand was her whispered confession just before she took her last breath. I stared at her, dumbstruck with horror. She'd chosen this moment to tell me her darkest secret? Her breath wheezed and she nodded, her gaze lucid enough to make me tremble, as if losing her wasn't devastating enough. My knees gave out and I tumbled into the chair next to the hospital bed. After all these years, she'd finally told me who my father was, and it was enough to strike fear in my soul. Lucifer. The Lucifer. Not some arbitrary fool she'd met in a bar with the same name. My father was the devil himself. The fallen. The archangel Lucifer. Nurses surged on the room and peeled me away from my mother. I hadn't even heard the monitor flatline. Annie, one of the junior staff members, led me out to a seat in the hall. I stared at the floor tile patterns as the chaos gave way to silence and a lingering stench of antiseptic and death. The funeral home was just as quiet as the hospital had been. My mother didn't have many friends. I guess when you live off the grid for so many years, that's what happens. But it still struck me as odd and sad at the same time. I glanced at the photos I had propped on the receiving table. Holly Kennedy had been a stunning woman before cancer ruined her beauty and her mind. The paper on the counter next to the picture ruffled as the door opened, reminding me of the whopping hospital bill that I was somehow responsible for. I didn't think I'd ever be out of debt due to my mother's death. I glanced up at the door, and the woman from the state stood waiting to take me to a group home in Bangor. There was no one else, and because I was only 16, the state was not going to let me go back home. My mother had left no will, no provisions, and apparently owned nothing, not even the cottage where she'd raised me, tutored me, and taught me control. There was a reason my mother lived off the grid. So I lingered. The thought of mixing with society left me cold to the bone. "Faith, it is time to go," Mrs. White, the mortuary assistant, said. She gently took my elbow in her hand to help me to my feet. I pulled out of her grip and crossed to the table, taking the backpack that had the sum of my belongings packed inside. I grabbed the frame and maneuvered it into the front pocket and hesitated with the zipper between my fingers. I stared at the hospital bill, gritting my teeth. Crumpling it, I stuffed it into the mesh holder meant for a water bottle and then hauled the pack over my shoulder. I turned to Mrs. White. "What will happen to my mother's ashes?" "You can pick up her ashes tomorrow, or we can mail them to wherever you are staying," she said. Mrs. White had let me pick out a simple urn for my mother's ashes, even though I had planned to dump them in the ocean. That was what my mother had asked me to do, but I couldn't bring myself to transport her remains in a cardboard box. My mother had made me promise her that I would find my way to the Atlantic Ocean. She wanted her ashes scattered in the sea so she could travel anywhere she wanted in the afterlife. It was a silly thought, but one I was compelled to honor. Mrs. White squeezed my hand and I tried to smile. I wasn't sure I pulled it off. My heart thundered in my ears as I turned to the state child services woman, who stood in the doorway and tapped her foot impatiently. My legs stiffened as I crossed to her. She took hold of my arm in a grip I didn't like, but I didn't fight her as she led me to a car parked at the edge of the parking lot. I got in the passenger seat of the sedan and dumped my backpack on the floor between my feet. She closed the car door behind me. The woman slid into the driver's seat and clipped her seatbelt before she turned to me. "I'm Sue, by the way." There was no warmth in her gaze. It was cold as a snake. "I'm sorry for your loss." I just nodded and looked out the window. The populated city of Bangor still was a shock to my system. We had been in Williamsburg for so long, and the town center only consisted of a veterinarian, a doctor's office, a gas station, and a country store. So the transition from there to the hospital, to the funeral home, and now to the wayward home for girls was too much stimulation for my brain to handle. My fingertips sparked and I curled my hands into fists to staunch the burn. Sue parked on the curb next to a building with a sign on top that said, "Home for Wayward Girls." It reminded me of the old wing of the hospital. She stepped out of the car and came to the passenger door, then opened it for me. Even though I lacked a lot of the social graces normal people had, everything about her mannerisms was weird. She took my arm again in that iron grip that was tight enough to stir my instincts into a frenzy. A chill skittered through me. By the time we stepped inside, the heat had started to bleed from my skin in waves that warmed the air around me. I didn't get control of my nervous energy.